I'm strange. I don't know if it's because of the hot weather or what. Just like a week and a half ago, I was starting to find myself singing Christmas tunes. Maybe it was just a way of mentally cooling down. But with SEC Media Days next week, end of the month, we have training camp starting as far as NFL, you know, not only with the Titans, but also the other teams throughout the league. It's that time of year where I just love gearing up for a start of a new football season.
Yeah, that's true, Johnny. There's no losses that take place in June either, which is always nice for fans. For people in the business, writers such as myself, you kind of enjoy the decompression time, and you kind of get weary of seeing the countdowns on social media. 55 days till kickoff, 53 days till kickoff. Because once it's on in the South. I mean, there's nothing like covering football for a reporter in the South. I don't think there's anything like it anywhere else in the country. I don't think anything compares. Right now it's the calm before the storm, and they just have continued to move SEC Media Days back further and further in order to capitalize, and you're right, it's on us next week.
Well, I'm kind of glad that this year, you know, in the recent years, we're talking about the same week as the All-Star break, so as far as baseball. So at least that, you know, got out of the way this week. But you're right, it ramps up, and certainly it's a big reason, too, is because, you know, although most of the teams are getting underway during Labor Day weekend, we have a big matchup in the state of Florida with the Gators of Florida taking on the Hurricanes of Miami down in Orlando on August 24th. So we actually get a it's like a week zero per se as far as the college football season this year.
And it seems like that happens every year. We've seen Tennessee start early. We've seen other teams. We've seen Vanderbilt start early. And, you know, it's just that's going to continue to happen. Those teams are going to want to be the only show, you know, in town, the only show on TV, which you can actually be. And that's the only time, you know, the season you can really do it. And teams, coaches don't mind, and certainly athletic directors don't mind, because it means so much money, you know, playing in the heat of August sun just to be the only, you know, to have the spotlight squarely on them at that time of the year.
All right, so
before everybody else gets started,
I had this, you know, last hour came up with this notion, and if I had, you know, thought about this prior to the show, I would have an answer for this because I would have quickly done my research. So I'm breaking down the schedule for Vanderbilt and for the Tennessee Vols and for the Titans, and I'm trying to recall, because it's probably been a while, when all three teams had what we would consider a very successful year. And because doing my math, I think that if Vanderbilt mentally navigates that first three games where they've got, you know, two conference games, Georgia to start, and then week three against LSU, and right in the middle they have to go on the road to take on a Purdue team that got embarrassed by Auburn 63-14 last year. But if they can, say, get off to the 1-2 start, I like Vanderbilt's schedule moving forward from there. I have both Vanderbilt and the Tennessee Vols being 7-4 going into that final game at Neyland Stadium.
Wow, that's I'm sure both fan bases like that. I heard, I guess it was just a couple of days ago, a prediction of both teams over and under being four games this year. Five games and four games. Five games for Tennessee, four games for Vanderbilt. So, you're definitely looking at the glass half full.
And I'm not looking – it's not just – I'm just throwing that there, because you know as well as I do, when we get the predictions next week at the end from the media, you know, you'll see somebody – just to show you how stupid most of those are, because they're only right, by the way, if they're fortunate. I think maybe right around the 20% mark of being right, picking the champ each and every year. That's how bad the predictions are. But you always will have somebody picking Ole Miss, for example, to win the SEC title. So that just shows you some of these predictions. But most folks, you can just count on Vanderbilt being picked last in the East, no matter what they have coming back. It's just one of these things that we assume. But if you break down the schedule, and I think it's really important, only because what Kyle Shurmur told me before, after, remember the embarrassment against Alabama, the 59-0 game, and he talked about how that game had an impact in future games as far as a hangover effect. If Vanderbilt mentally can navigate those first three games, I mean, think about it. They get Northern Illinois after that, at Ole Miss, UNLV at home, home against Missouri, at South Carolina. I don't see a reason why they can't reel off five straight wins right there.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not as down on Vanderbilt as a lot of people are, and pointing to the tough schedule, which I don't see that it, I'm with you on that. I think, you know, if they can do everything, win the games they need to win, or that they should win, then yeah, they could have a very successful season. Problem is, you know, history tells us Vanderbilt has trouble doing that. But I will say that that this is a far more stable Vanderbilt team program now than your father's or definitely your grandfather's Vanderbilt, and it's capable of winning, you know, beating the teams it should beat. And I still, the other big thing is that there's still that element that teams overlook Vanderbilt. Teams do not take Vanderbilt seriously. It doesn't matter what's happened in the last few years. It doesn't matter that Vanderbilt's been to some bowl games and has flirted with a, you know, winning record last year even. That teams still take them lightly. And that's understandable with some of the things that you had to face in the SEC. You had to take so many other teams so seriously that you're looking for somebody to take a break against. But this team is loaded offensively. I don't know about the offensive line. If they can put together some semblance of an offensive line like they've had the last few years, then I think this team can score a lot of points, and you're going to have to outscore them to beat them.
Well, the question would be the right side. It's almost like we talk about the Tennessee Titans, because I'm comfortable with the left side of the line. I'm actually comfortable with Tyler Steen making the shift back at right tackle, for example, for Vanderbilt. But when you look at the weapons, if the playmakers we're talking about remain healthy throughout the season, but you start with a Keyshawn Vaughn, over 1,200 rushing yards last year. You look at the top three receivers all back, with two receivers and a tight end in Pinckney. You're talking about over 170 combined catches with those three. Vanderbilt has some weapons, whoever earns the starting nod at quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if they can just get a guy to come in and you know, it's cliche, it's become cliche, and not lose the game for them, but still that's what you need, is somebody that's not going to come in and make a lot of mistakes, then, yeah, and get it the ball in the hands of the playmakers, because, you know, they received a gift from heaven when Keyshawn Vaughn decided to come back, because, you know, all signs pointed to him not coming back. There just wasn't much reason for him to, with what he had done. He had already proven to the scouts, and he was going to go high in the NFL draft as a running back's going to go. That's, you know, they're no longer a commodity like they once were. But, you know, I think he enjoys the college game. He enjoys what he became at Vanderbilt. I mean, he's a marvel. He's as good a running back as any they've had in the last few years, and that's saying a whole lot, because Vanderbilt has produced some really good running backs in the past decade. And yeah, if they can get the ball into his hands, and then Pinckney, and you got one of the best tight ends in the SEC, if not the best, one of the best running backs in the SEC, if not the best, and one of the best wide receivers, then this team's got some, it's loaded and can score.
Mike Organ with the Tennessee. And Art, we look at Tennessee as far as the Vols are concerned. I mean, I'll just give you a quick answer. Do you feel like Tennessee, just a simple yes or no, do you feel like first and foremost they're better this year on paper than they were last year?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So with that said, I mean, the Jeremy Pruitt effect last year, the fact that they found ways to get two wins they had no business winning. They found a way to go down to Auburn and win a game there. They found a way to beat Kentucky in November at home. And it wasn't, you know, we were talking about a very decisive 24-7 win in the month of November against Kentucky. So with that said, I think they get off to the 3-0 start. I think they handle their business against Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga. I think they get a rough patch as far as at Florida and then hosting Georgia, so I'll give them two losses there. But I see them through the first seven games being 4-3, and then let's see what happens in those next four before they get to Vanderbilt. And that's why I think they'll find a way to get at least three wins in their that four-game stretch before Vanderbilt. And that we're talking about South Carolina at home, UAB at home, then at Kentucky, then at Missouri. I can see three wins out of those four games there, and that gives me the magic number of 7-4 going into the Vanderbilt game.
Yeah, I'm with you totally on Tennessee. I think expectations have been raised. Jeremy Pruitt, even though he has tried to kind of downplay expectations, has been a victim of his own circumstances and has put together a team that has shown flashes. As you said, last year, Kentucky, even though they beat Kentucky every year, last year was a magical, a special year for Kentucky, and for Tennessee to go in and manhandle them like they, like it did, that was impressive. And then the Auburn win, obviously. And so, you know, Pruitt has built up expectations, and when you look at that schedule, I'm totally with you. I think that there's definitely some big wins that can be gotten in there, and anything less than a decent bowl game, a mid-level bowl game, will be a disappointment at Tennessee this year.
All right, so that's two out of the three. Can we make it three out of three as far as if you're a fan of the Titans and you want Tennessee Vols and you want the Vanderbilt Commodores to do well? It, now we turn our attention to the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, as far as measuring success, if we're talking about them either winning the division or finishing two and being a wild card team, that means it's, you know, a success, especially if you're making it to the playoffs. The question is, how do you get to nine wins?
Yeah, nine or even 10 wins. I think that Tennessee is a lot like we were talking about with the Vols, in that expectations have been raised. Now on paper, Tennessee looks like a lot better team, but they've not proven it. You know, it's there's nothing to point to other than a stellar defense last year, and a defense that if it can return and be as good or just about as good, and I'm talking about scoring defense, which is the most important thing. You know, this team holds a lot of people to field goals and turns, you know, just a few points no matter what. Then if the offense has improved at all, then, you know, I think you're looking at a better year than last year, obviously, and possibly good enough to win 9 or 10 games. And, you know, the pieces they've put together, John Robinson has, you know, found some guys off the street and then went through a draft where, you know, you like what he's done. You've got the wide receiver from Mississippi. I mean, you got the player from Mississippi State that won't be available this year, but the wide receiver from Ole Miss, it adds to it, Brown. And, you know, it just looks like a better team.
How about this? And I don't know if you've heard this anywhere, because I haven't, and I just discovered it. When you look at the Titans' schedule now, when you start seeing the names, whether because of all the buildup with Cleveland and the Titans have to start the year at Cleveland, and you see Indianapolis, you see Atlanta, you see the Chargers, but how about five of the first six opponents for the Titans were teams that finished below 500 last year? Seven of the first nine opponents for the Titans finished below 500 last year. The only exceptions, the Chargers that were 12-4, and the Titans get them on October 20th here in Nashville, and then also in week two when the Titans play host to Indianapolis. So when you look at the first nine opponents, seven of those nine had below 500 records last year.
And we know that the game against the Chargers could have been different last year as well. Tennessee played that game. It was you know, that was a very good football game. And I just think people are so focused on that Cleveland game, and there's so much hype around Cleveland that if they're not looking past that much. And I think what you're talking about, you're right. You know, there's some opportunities there early after that first game, but I just don't think a whole lot of people are worried about it. They feel like, you know, there's so much hype around Cleveland that they want the team focused on that one game because they don't want to get off to that 0-1 start.
But, how about the fact Cleveland, you know, the interesting thing about the Browns, you know, I kind of look back at what the Titans did their very first year as the Tennessee Titans back in 99. There wasn't a lot of buildup, although it was a team that was, what, three straight years of 8-8 finishes. But the Titans did not have a lot of love going into 1999. They didn't have a lot of love like the Browns are getting this year. And the Browns are getting it because what have they accomplished? Bad ownership. Other than that, yeah, they got Baker Mayfield. They've got some nice new toys as part of that roster. But what have they won to this point? They were 7-8-1 last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same thing with the Titans. The Titans still have need to do it, you know, on the field and prove what they put together on paper. It pays off. But, yeah, the Browns have got a long way to go before they're what you'd consider a formidable opponent. They may not be the dregs of the NFL anymore, and they may have gotten past that last year at some point. But still, this is not a great football – not a good football team yet.
Mike Organ with the Tennessee. And so, are you buying in now what I'm throwing out there, that this could be a rare thing when we're talking about the big three – here in the state of Tennessee, the Titans, the Vols, and the Commodores having what we would consider a successful 2019 campaign?
Boy, I sure want to buy it because I feel for the football fans in Tennessee because it's been so long since we've had that. We've seen a hockey team go to the Cup. We've seen other sports. We've seen college basketball teams from the state become among the best in the country. I'm talking about Tennessee, and it's time for football fans to get their due, and it just hadn't gotten it. We've had very mediocre football in this state for far too long, and yeah, I want to buy what you're saying, and I can see, you know, if you're looking optimistically, and, you know, then, yeah, I could see all three having successful campaigns this year.
I mean, over the last 10 years, you could probably throw in 2016. That was a year that Vanderbilt, bowl eligible, got their sixth win, although they lost their bowl game. The Tennessee Vols finished with 9 wins that year in 2016. And then you had the Titans, although the Titans certainly, knowing the position that they were in going into Jacksonville on Christmas Eve, we should have been talking about a team winning the division. They finished 9-7, so close as far as that, but did not really, because of what the Titans did, you know, they didn't really, you know, quite live up to expectations, and you can make the argument neither did the Vols in 2016. I really think that, you know, expectations are – you can define it based on whatever program we're looking at. This might be that rare, you know, trifecta there where all three of these programs, if you're a fan of these programs, that you can feel like the expectations were met at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. And that, just if you can do that, because we haven't done that. Because you're right, in 2016, you know, still, you know, in that era with Tennessee, we had been sold the recruiting, you know, was just among the best in the nation for so long that we kept waiting for the fruition, and it just never really came through, even though there was some success there. But it just the expectations. Well, now, and this will, you know, this year the bar's been kind of lowered. I mean, and if Tennessee and Vanderbilt both, as you say, could win 7 games, you know. Think about that in the 90s if we were talking about Tennessee winning 7 games, you know. I mean, but now winning 7 games for Tennessee would be a big deal. And obviously for Vanderbilt it would be a big deal. So where we are today, the bar has been lowered. And if these three teams can come through, and I would love to see it. I would love to see all three. You know, me not being a fan of any of the three, but I would love to see it for the fans. It would be phenomenal.